nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
To be qualified to be called your sons. Of all that you have, heaven is yours. The earth is yours. The entire universe is yours. But out of all your creation, the angels, the cherubims, the seraphim, the living creatures in heaven, the elders in heaven, out of all, you chose the least of them all, to be called your children. Thank you to be called your children, to be co-heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. This is a privilege you will never understand on earth. We will never understand this on earth. Even in our misunderstanding, we come to you and we serve you. And you still accept our service. You still accept our worship. You still accept us for who we are, despite not knowing you. Despite not knowing you, seeing through a glass dimly and darkly, even in this thing that does not qualify, even in this thing that does not qualify even to appear before you, you banish it with your spirit and you qualify this thing by yourself and you accept our worship. You accept, we don't even know your name. Even the one that you have revealed unto us, we don't even know it. We don't even know it. Yet! Our Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, what a glorious thing to be in God's presence and in God's house. This is my all-time thing I used to say. There's no better place to be than to be in His house. Than to be in His house. King David was a king. He was a king. He had everything going for him. Can you see the way a king is talking? Just like a president. That this is all my desire, that I may just sit down in your house to behold your beauty, to behold your majesty. Hope you know so many nations were under David. David was one man that fought 66 battles and never lost one. So you can see who he was on it. God brought so many nations under, but all of those things does not make any sense to David. Just to sit down in your house and to behold the beauty and to behold the majesty of my God. Wow. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. I'm not here to take your time. You can be rest assured about that. He asked me to talk about devotion with fire. So, it's real and it's practical. We've done part of it. We've just done part of it when I came on stage. It's that simple. Yeah, Paul called it the simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ. I'm afraid, lest in case like the serpent deceived Eve, even so your hearts may be swayed away from the simplicity that is in Christ, from simple devotion to Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. I want to appreciate the organizers of this program. Bonnie, I want to thank you. God bless you. You know, it's the heart I'm seeing. I'm not seeing the meeting. It's a heart I'm seeing. A heart. So many young people, so many things that occupy their hearts. You know, when I see a heart devoted, committed to God, I do everything to encourage it. Praise the Lord. I want to start my appreciation from you and your entire team, all of you that put this meeting together. I want to appreciate the chapel of His glory. Please, can you clap for yourselves? So many times I come, all kinds of meeting goes on in this place. That openness and that sincerity, please keep it going. It will take you to so many places in God. there's life beyond this campus. That openness and that simplicity you have towards God. Anybody, one time I hear that so group is doing meeting in this place. That's the pattern. That's how it's supposed to be. There are people out there, you can't use their space. You can't use their space. You give your instrument, you release your people. The Lord will bless you for that. Praise the Lord. And you are laying a foundation for your life. Once again, I want to appreciate the pastors in the house. All the names they told me, I've forgotten them, but I know I can remember Pastor Femi. Can remember Pastor Ibitoye. Am I correct? Pastor Ibitoye, Pastor Pelumi is in the house, and I also saw. Yeah, clap for them. You think it's easy? They left a lot of commitment to be here. They left so much. Then I saw Pastor Bamidele as well. Then please, I know I forgot some other names that was introduced to me. Please, can you just clap for them too? And I want you to give a special clap to your pastor. Yes. Pastor T, baby, God bless you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Say you appreciate this man, because I was talking to Pastor Pelumi that he was also have an engagement. You know, incidentally, his seat has been shifted. Even for him to come 2 hours journey down and 2 hours back to Akure, it's not easy. And I came for this meeting because, one, I just wanted to strengthen the things in his heart. When I see people like that, on Thursday we had a vigil. That vigil will finish by 5. Bro Isaac was there. We finished by 5 a.m. I took my bait, wore my clothes, and I had to start driving to the office. One hour journey. And after that vigil, I was supposed to have another one on Friday. So from that place, I would drive down to Akure. I would drive down from the office back, from Undo back to Akure. Go to that vigil. So it is from that vigil directly that I will be coming here. I looked at all of those things, but I couldn't just say no. I just wanted to encourage him. We should fan every flame. When we see the flame, we should fan it. Ourselves are immaterial. God gave us, you know, to strengthen and encourage the body. That's why concerning the Messiah, that the smoking flame or flax will not quench. Even the fire that is dying down, he will fan it. He will fan it. Incidentally, yesterday when I was in the office, I was calling. They say that other vigil for Friday has been shifted. Even for 2 days, I will not have slept. And I will still be coming here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that one was cancelled, so I was able to have a measure of rest before I came. But I just want to show you something, that this thing is real. This thing is real. Devotion is, if you have seen Christ, you will be devoted to Him. There is no formula. There is no pattern. There is no formula for devotion. If you see him, you'll be devoted to him. All your life, all your heart, everything, your whole heart will be given to him. You see, men are one leg in, one leg out, who are pushing men because they have not seen him. Christ. The Christ. You see, it's like a treasure that a man sees. When he sees it, he goes and sells everything that he has. Any man that has seen it. Men are struggling because they have not. The young rich ruler that went back, he never saw that treasure. And no man can see, they have to help you. When I say they, it's capital T, capital H, capital E, and capital Y. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Except they help you, you cannot see it. Quite a good number. Some of you here have not even seen him. You can be born again and have not seen him. You will have prophets that may not have even seen him. I'll show you. Praise the Lord. Our devotion is to a person. You see, a lot of wrong road you have taken in life. You think satisfaction, fulfillment can come from ministry. Ministry, pursuing ministry, vision, and all of those things. It will not. It will not. It will come from him, a person, Christ. Christ. You can win the whole of Nigeria and not have peace. You can win the whole of Nigeria and you don't have inner peace. It's a great peace of all they that obey his commandments. Great peace. That's the word I want you to see. Peace. He said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. I want to ask you, do you have joy? Do you have joy? Inside of you, do you have peace? Peace. That's a new. He said, grace and peace be multiplied. If grace and peace was multiplied last year, let's say 2 years ago, if you have known him as a 2 years ago, it was multiplied. And last year it was multiplied. And last year it was multiplied. You can imagine what manner of person will be. Peace. See, my peace I give you. Peace. Is it my peace? I'm gradually moving into what I want to tell you about devotion. About devotion. I'll show you. I'll highlight all this thing and I want to show you the missing link. Say peace I give you. Say righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:9. Is it first now? Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. You don't have a second mic, you give the person. You don't have another mic. So okay. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can you see calling? God has called us into fellowship. The New Covenant, the New Testament came with so many packages. He has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 17, verse 24. Let me be reading it. Open to John chapter 17, verse 24. Show us another scripture. You see, are you there? John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, this is my will. Jesus was going. He said, this is my will. That day, those that you have given me, I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Father, this is my will, that those that you have given me, they will be with me where I am, that they will behold my glory, which you have given me, because you love me from the foundation of the world. Where do you see his glory? In Oja, in the market. Eh? Where do you see his glory? When you are doing shopping. When you are doing shopping. Where? Tell me. Eh? Amen. When you are doing shopping in the market, that's where you behold him. Or when you are gisting with your friends. Or arguing about EPC or PDP. Praise the Lord. Number one, you must be available. You must be what? You must be available. You must be available. Look at the way you divide your time. Which portion is given to God? Look, you must be available with God. You talk about devotion, spending time. You must be available. You must be totally, totally available to God. That's when God can begin to meet you. That's the starting point. If you don't have time, there's no need even trying going into it. Praise the Lord. Let me come back to that message I was telling you. God did so many things for Israel. Now, I want to talk about, I say your devotion is to a person. The privilege we have to live in this time, this era of Christ, this dispensation of the Son of God. If we understand it, then maybe it will change a lot of things about us. Christ. God did so many things for Israel, but one thing he will not do, he will not show them his Son. He will not show them his word. They call it the word that time. That's why he said that he did so many things. And 103 verse, is it verse 7 now? He said he showed his ways to Moses. He showed his ways to Moses. But what? He did mighty works for Israel. One thing, God is so precious to the Christ, his Son. We call him the Word. He's so precious to him that God does not release it for any generation. Previous ages past. Even as close as Abraham was to him, there were certain things he kept away from him. Because God reserved it to some certain people. And you and I are privileged to be that generation. And look at what we are making out of it. He said he did so many mighty works for Israel. But he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What Moses did, he simply saw Christ. He simply saw Christ. That's why I said, the Lord will raise a prophet like me. Jesus Christ, that's why I said in John chapter 1 verse 18, he said, nobody has seen God except the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father. That word, let me explain that word bosom. Let me explain that word bosom. Because even before I explain that word, let me tell you something about his word. God does not just release his word. He said that's why Moses was saying in Deuteronomy 7, that what nation is so great to have commandment, to have judgment and status like the Lord our God has given to us. That's what made Israel as a nation great. God gave them his status, his commandment and his judgment. And that was even the ministry of condemnation. That was even the law. That is not the word of his grace. Those words that he gave them. That's why I say he are gods. You know why I say he are gods? In John 10, Jesus explained it. He said, ye are gods, and ye are children of the Most High. Do you know why he called them gods? He said, if they were accusing Jesus that he was calling himself the Son of God, he said, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, the word of God came to them, and he called them gods. He said, ye are gods and children of the Most High, because the word of God came to them. Praise the Lord. He said he is in the bosom of the Father. The word bosom means what? The word bosom means what? Protected. It's not just the inner place. It's not just the inner place. I check my dictionary meaning. He said protected inner part. There's an inner part, you know, this one is for that seclusion. So I just want you to see Jesus and who has called us and who the Father has given us. And what he has called us into. That was his Son. So, he said the bosom of the Father. Not just the inner place. He said the protected interior part. That is what he said, the bosom. Who he said, God, you've called up 1:18, Abby. John 1:18. He said, who is in the bosom of the Father? Jesus. Haggai called him the desire of all nations. He said, once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. And the desire of all nations was coming. God himself was so excited about his Son coming on earth. And that's what sustained God. All the program he was doing from Adam. Since the day Adam fell. That's why anytime God is upset, he starts talking about his Son. That's why when Adam handed everything over, messed up with Satan, he said what? He will bruise your what? You know, he said, I put an enmity between you and the seed of the woman. He used the word seed, not many seed, one seed. And Paul now came and explained that seed in Galatians 3. He used the word seed, singular, talking about Christ. He said, I thought he had gotten the upper hand. God reminded him, I'll put an enmity between you and the seed of the woman. He will crush your head and you bruise his heel. He began talking about his Son. Then if you look at when Israel got to the border of the promised land, to tell how precious he is to the Father. And that is the person that he carried and handed and gave us. I say devotion is to a person. You know, so look at, they go to the border of the promised land, enter the land, they refuse to enter. Enter, they say they are not entering, that the people are like, were like grasshopper, that the people are giants and all of those things, and God was angry. God said, okay, go back. He said they should go back. They say they refuse now, they say they are not going back again. They say enter, they refuse to enter. Now go back. You know, it's like when you are trapped between the devil and the blue sea. If you go here, you know, that was how they tried to kiss God, but you know, God is beyond all. Enter, they say they will not enter. Okay, now turn and go back. Turn and go back. They say we are not turning and going back again. They now chose captain for them. Say that they say now they want to now go and enter. Just now they say they were just to frustrate God. God now began telling them. He said, okay, all of you will die. He began declaring judgment. Then he now, somewhere in the middle, he now stopped. He said, as surely as I live. God now swore by himself. He said, as surely as I live, that the earth, what? Will be filled with the knowledge of what? Of his glory. That's where that Bible verse first came up. Then Haggai now spoke about it. Then Paul now spoke about it in Corinthians. You see, as surely as I live, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Then if you now go to First Corinthians 4, about us say about that God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has in this end time shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. God began speaking about his son when he was, let me use the word in quote, when he almost trapped between the devil and the blue sea. He said, my son is coming. When you say Christ, he's not an ordinary person. Look at the Revelation, the worship, the worship in the book of Revelation. Revelation, so we had the elders, the beast and everything. When Jesus appeared, they say the 24 elders casted their crown. All of them fell down. Even the angels, everybody fell down to bow in honor and in adoration. And that is the person that God has given you as a heritage. God did not give you something. You know, the church is a type of the Levite, the tribe of Levi. God gave all of them inheritance. God gave all of them inheritance, did not give Levi any. He said, I am your inheritance. I am your inheritance. He didn't give them. When God now instituted the church, he now gave us one inheritance, and that inheritance is Christ. Praise the Lord. He gave everybody properties. So you don't be surprised why the Muslim world, you know, they are very rich. Don't be confused. They are very rich. Don't be angry that unbelievers are very rich. Anything evil, there's so much money inside of it. See this worldly music. See the money, see the billions inside. Worldly music, you know. The highest industry is, I think the richest industry is pornographic industry. Don't be angry. It's just like God gave every other body properties, but he refused to give Levi anything. He said, I am your inheritance. And even when God instituted the church age, the single inheritance he gave us is Christ. He gave us his son. Jesus Christ. Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, before Isaiah 6, he was, I told us, even Abraham, part of the people that, you know, those old times, what differentiated them, those prophets, it was a privilege for you to see. You see the scripture, I'll show you some few scriptures, you know. People that saw him, I say Moses, he saw Christ. People like Abraham, Jesus was preaching in John, he said, Abraham, your father. Some of them walked with God. God gave them a message. People like Samson. Samson never saw him. Even among the 12 disciples, not all of them saw him. I will show you, Judas did not see him. Jesus can stand with you and you not even see him. That's why I say, have you seen Christ? You know, that's where I started from. Have you seen him? If you see him, your life cannot remain the same. Even the disciple caught 12 disciples, but not all of them saw him. Judas never saw him. There were two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to them and was talking with them. Talked the whole length of the road. This was the Messiah talking to them. But they never saw him. That God, maybe he can even stand physically and you not even see him. You can see him and talk with him, and yet you have not seen him in your spirit. That's what I'm talking about. When you see him in your spirit, everything will be changed. That's why the Bible said when he comes, that how are we going to be transformed? When he just appeared, God will just unveil himself. He said we'll be changed. He said that 1 John 1, that believe what manner of Lord the Father has given us. Now we the sons of our spirit, now we the sons of God. We don't know what we'll be like yet. What are we going to be like? You see, our ultimate reality. What are we going to be like after this world? He said we don't know yet. He said, but when he appeared, when we see him as he is, we will just be translated and become like him. When you see him, you change. Everything inside of you starts changing. You see, your inner life, or in all those struggles, sometimes you'll be struggling with certain things. Just when you see him in a place of revelation, light, it's not just maybe your physical eyes and all of those things. If you see him, you'll be transformed. You see, Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. That was, he was looking for a city that had foundation. That's why that man could not stop at anything. Give me your only child, the son of his old age. What made Abraham to put his son on the altar and took a knife to go and slaughter him? God gave him 3 days to change his mind. He didn't change it. Or he was going to climb the Mount Moriah. An old man. Abraham was old and stricken in age. But that man, even that strength to climb the mountain, he didn't stop. He didn't complain. He was climbing those mountains for 3 days. 3 days. He put that boy to that knife. And God called him 2 times. If he had called him once, Abraham would have slaughtered that boy. Because the Bible says Abraham received him in a figure. He was already dead. Totally dead in Abraham's heart. That's why God stopped him. It's not this thing, it's not this physical something that God is after. So I see God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. If that boy had not been killed, if he had not dead in the heart of Abraham, he would have killed him there. God would have asked him, kill him. You know? So Abraham had already felt, if he had killed him, it would not make any meaning, because the agony of killing that boy had already felt it. And God said, it's enough. You will have killed him there, and God will bring him back. I don't know, but that is God for you. You see, Abraham, your father, John chapter 8, look at it. John 8, let me give you the verse. I'm talking about seeing Christ. John chapter 8, verse 56. You see, your father, verse 56, read it down. Put other scriptures. You see, your Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. It's a privilege that God will show you his son. In those times, that's why I say, look at the mighty work he did in Israel. He did so many things, so many wonders. Israel knew this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of those things, but God never permitted them to see his son. Many wonders. Samson, did he see him? You could be anointed and have not even seen him. Even in this time, the apostles and big men that they have not, I can tell you that they have not seen him by revelation and by light. Samson, he was anointed. You know what? When you see him, you know the proof, the testimony of it. When you see him, you will become like him. He said, beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we have been changed. What? We have been changed from glory, we have been changed into the same image. We are becoming like Christ. Any man that has seen him, you see that things is, you just be becoming like him. It's not that you are just doing ministry, that you are just walking. You, the man himself, is changing, because that's the New Testament. The old time, God could do things. It's about things, doing things and getting job and getting assignment done. But the New Testament is about image. The New Testament, that's why I say that. You say what? God has predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the first calling. That's the first calling. Before you become an apostle to Akumba, the first calling. If you fail in that one, you fail in every other thing. He has called us to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Right? So that's the first calling, I say. Image. That's why I say that he that is in Christ. You know what God did in the Old Testament? He gave them laws. Look at it. He gave them laws. Take this law. Walk in the strength of this law. Maybe as you walk, then you now be changed and transformed and become a new person. The law. That was what he did in the law. But that was where the law failed. But the law could not change them. Did so many things through the law, but the law could not change them, could not change their person. That's why I say that the law made nothing perfect, and God abolished the law. But in the New Testament now, instead of giving laws and regulations, God first of all changed the person. That's how the first experience, if you are in Christ, you say you are a new creation, you are a new person. Praise the Lord. So if you look somewhere in Hebrew 7, he say God changed the priesthood. The priesthood now, the Levitical order, God gave so many laws and he accepted them, they couldn't change. But in the new covenant, God changed the man. Then he now gave the man laws. Not that he gave laws and now said the man should know. He changed the man. That's why he's in Christ. The first experience, God makes you a new person. You are a new creature, you are a new being. Made in his image, in his likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. Created in righteousness and in true holiness. That's the new creation. Then when God changed the priesthood, changed the person, then he now started changing the laws. That's why you heard Jesus say, you heard that it has been said to you of old, but now I tell you. That I can answer, you heard that it has been said by them of old, an eye for an eye, but he said, but now I tell you. So he changed the person, then he now changed their law, the laws. So the first experience, the first thing is the person. So that's why I say, he said, Abraham, your father rejoiced to see my day, he saw it and was glad. Isaiah was preaching, whoa, till Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw him. When he saw him, his message changed. And from that, he started preaching Christ. You check Isaiah's messages, begin to, I see, now from that chapter 6. You know, whoa, he said, in the day that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had an encounter, he had that experience. He had that experience, his message changed. He said, behold, my servant whom I uphold. He said, what, he shall grow up like a tender, but he began talking about Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he said, that's why I say that he's in the bosom of the Father. I say the protected interior inner. That's why all of them there, the Jew, the Pharisee, he did so many things, but the Bible says he came to his own did not recognize him. They were not permitted to see him. He was physically in Israel, but they did not even see, they could not see him. That's why seeing God is a reality in your spirit. If you see that reality, it will change everything about your life. It's a reality in your spirit. He said that Israel was with them. He did so many things. They saw all his wonder. They rushed and followed him. But they never saw him. That's why he said he came to his own. You know, he said he was in the world. Though the world, he was in the world. He made the world. The world did not know him. And he came to his own. They rejected him because they never knew him. Even John, as great as his calling was, they say he, of all the men born of women, John is the greatest. Even John will have missed him. That's why I said you could be with him, you could be with him, could be running and all of those things, yet you have not seen Christ. He said, John could have missed him. Why he was physically here? He said, look at, call up John chapter 1, I think verse 41. He said, I could have not have even known him. They helped him. He was helped. I told us the meaning of day. He had to be helped for him to see the Messiah. When he was saying, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Look at verse 41. Okay, no, not 41. Not 41. Go to 31. Look at his testimony. Are we there? He said, and I knew him not, but I should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water? He said, and I, verse 33. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize you, what has said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That was even when he was standing in person on earth. Then what about talking about spiritual reality? You know? Yeah, the living reality of Jesus in our spirit and in our hearts. That's why when Paul was talking to them, Galatian church, when they were giving me a lot of trouble. In that church, that's the same place they were sleeping with father. Somebody take his father. That's why he gave him a lot of trouble. They were doubting his apostleship, his authority over them. They even said there was no resurrection in the church at Corinth. Some of them. That's why if you saw those letters he wrote, they addressed a lot of those things to them. He told them that, am I not an apostle? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? That's 1 Corinthians 1:9. Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? It was not just that encounter on the road. By revelation. That's why I say, somewhere say, I went up by revelation to Jerusalem. When he himself and Barnabas, when he went, the word is, I went up by revelation. That's why I was praying to the Ephesians church that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. That I may know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is the beginning. I say your devotion is to a person. Ministry will not, I have discovered that ministry will not give you fulfillment. So that is, it will come from the peace. You see this thing called peace. Peace. No work will give you peace. He said, my peace I give you. Not as the world give unto you, give I to you. How does the world think? Maybe as an accomplished man. At the age of 23, he was already a president. At the age of 30, he was already control Africa. No. That's not the way I give you peace. It's giving person to person. He said, my peace I give you. Not as the world give I unto you. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So what am I saying in essence? I gave us example that I gave us Israel, Samson. I told, of course, Judas. Judas was out of the way. He never saw him. Even when Christ was with them, all of the, he never saw him. Because nothing changed inside of him. Because when you see him, that's why I say, by their fruit you shall know them. When you see them, the inner begins to change. It's from inside out. That is, I'm giving you an example, a witness. That you have seen him, your devotion, everything about you is just Christ. He was talking about, was in exam hall, he was having fellowship and all of that. It's a common experience. Anyway, your heart is just totally about him. About him. About him. As you are writing the exam, if he tell you to stand up, you stand up and drop the paper. I'm giving a practical example of someone that he's not someone that is still struggling, that is trying to serve God. Someone that has seen him. That's a social person, he has time for God. And no, all your time 100% belongs to him. Every other thing is other things that you are doing, you know. Maybe you are working in a ministry, you are a teacher, you know, you are an engineer. Those ones are secondary, but your primary life becomes him. He's so awesome, he's so sweet. That's why I started by giving an example of David. He was a king. He was supposed to be busy. Daniel was supposed to be busy. Nebuchadnezzar was controlling the whole world. And he was a governor. He was a prince. Among the 120 princes, he was among the top three. If you read that account very well. Say, okay, he was so busy. They walk. No. You know, he had time. That was his, the Bible say, that was his primary duty. Even when they made a decree, he will still open up his window towards Jerusalem. I bring a simple word to you. Make him the give Christ the priority in your heart. He didn't ask you to do anything. Just yield. He just calls you. You responding to the call, that's all. Every other thing he begins to do it inside of you. It's a God that works in you to will. He walks there so for you to will, and he now begins to walk there. After you will, it's not that you have the will. Don't be the deception that will fall into that you have the will. It's not just sufficient. You think you can do? No. He works for you to will. After the will is there, you see that the power to do is not yet there. Romans 7. With the law, I did the law, but I find that I could not. There is this passion and that hunger to pray, but I see myself 1 year, 2 years, I'm still struggling to pray. If he works in you to will, then he now works in you to what? Do. In all of the various work, all of you are just to yield and to respond. And it's quite simple. You may sit down and be reading your Bible. You know, sometimes it tell you about your study life. That's how it comes. Little life. I'm showing you the process now. Maybe your devotional life is not okay. You have that witness in your spirit. You know, you have to make utter consecration to take your Bible and begin to read it. We did it massively, aggressively, you know. It's like a glutton. You just ignore it. You now do that thing. You now need to talk about your prayer life, this and that. Instead of you to put in so much energy into it, you now decide to ignore it. And that's how it begins to die off. Like that. That's his work. He works in you to win. There was one time I was in school. I was still a student. You know, I used to pray. Okay, I'm okay with your prayer life, but I'm not study life. I said, I just took my Bible. I divided it. I think for 4 months. Every 4 months, I must read my Bible cover to cover. That was not even my daily devotion. That one is just our daily man of Bible. I just divided my Bible into four. So every 3 months, I must finish this Bible. Then I now sit down for the place of fellowship and meditation. I spend hours. and that was the rule. What happened at that time? Say, you know, this and like that. Praise the Lord. So I'm showing you the process. In these little things, it will affect a lot of things. It's a very deep topic, but I just choose to take the topic this way to show you that devotion is to a person, Christ. And that's where your joy. You see, marriage, all these marriage, all these things. I've told you when I came to preach, some of you that were here before, when I was speaking on faith, I said, I saw all of those things, none of them will give you joy and satisfaction. None of them in itself is fulfilling. None of them in itself is satisfying. Anything, name it. To the ministry, marriage, job, children, all, nothing in itself is fulfilling. If Christ is not in the boat, it's like what? If not in the boat, forget it. Marriage will be something else. If Christ is not in your children, how many of you know that people that their children were the one that killed them without attack? Praise the Lord. So what I'm simply saying is, God gave us what? His Son. And I gave you series and series of instances that He don't unveil His Son. But in this new age, in the New Testament era, what God did was to open up and unveil His Son to us. That's why God is faithful, who has called us what? Unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. That He has hidden over the ages, hidden from generation past. He hid from all of them. God now opened up to us and said, you should come and fellowship with Him. And you come and fellowship with Him. It's fellowship with Christ. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So what have we said? In summary, somebody should summarize it. What have we said? What have we said? I'm done. I will just raise one prayer point. I'll leave you. What have we said? Yes, that's everything that you need to change your devotional life. Oh, I don't want to come and tell you study your Bible, pray, all those are things. You know, you're saying something about worship. It's natural. It will just flow. It will just flow. You've not heard of you that some people are pray for. They are pray for like 30 minutes, 1 hour before they consciously knew that they were even praying. It becomes a life. Devotion to God becomes a life. And that is what should distinguish the church. They looked at them, they said that these men had been with Christ. That was the only thing they could say about them. They saw the way they were behaving. They said they had been with Christ. He said, Father, I pray that this will be with me where I am. That's the place of communion. That's the place of fellowship. That's where you see His glory. You remember Moses when he went to the. That's why I say, if you are in the market or you are discussing poly, when did Moses see His glory? He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says when Moses was coming down, you know, I say he saw Christ. Moses too saw Christ. When he was coming down, he said the skin of his face shone with light. That even Aaron and the elders, when they saw him, they ran back. He now called them and they came back. When you stay in the place of fellowship, that's where you encounter His glory. Beholding us in a class, the glory of God is in the place of fellowship. You don't fellowship with God while you are maybe walking on the street. All kinds of prayers you could pray, you know, like that prayer, all of those, you could have that inner fellowship anywhere. Even in the market, you can have inner fellowship. But I'm talking about it begins from the prayer. You must create time first. Because if I preach that one now, some of you will use it to justify not to sit down, spend time with God. Yes. You can be busy 24 hours, you had a sweet communion and fellowship with Him. But you don't arrive at the state, you must begin from another state where you have spent time in God. Then it's now become a presence that you carry everywhere. As you are in the office, you are working 18 hours in a day. You are working with His presence. You are working in absolute fellowship. You are living off it. People are pitying you. Hey, this man, he's working. How is it that you are even pitying the people that are at home that are not even doing anything? Because you are coming back stronger. Stronger because you are coming from, you have been in the place of fellowship, in the place of communion. Anyway, even if you are digging hole for 12 hours, you are digging that hole, He's just so there, His presence saturates everything that you are doing. After digging hole for 12 hours, that people say, maybe it's your job for the next 3 days. People are pitying you, you are pitying them. But it begins from where you have to be available. You have to let you sit down with God. All this running here and there, looking this and that. That is the first calling. God is faithful, who has called us unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that was the son I showed you. I told you Abraham, Moses, David too saw him. David, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Just like David was a king, you know, just like the president of Nigeria now, you know. Look at all the issues. Look at all the issues in Israel. But if you do an X-ray of David's heart, what you will see there is Christ. Go to I told you Isaiah saw him. That's when his message changed. Okay, look at what Jesus said about Isaiah in John chapter 12. Isaiah, John chapter 12, verse 37. I'll be fast. Verse 37, verse 38. Then I jump to verse 41. Okay, but though he had done so many miracles before them, they believed not on him. The next verse. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Go to verse 41. This is said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. This was when some people came some Gentile came and told Philip, we want to see Christ. We want to see Jesus. That's when they began giving. He said, this is Isaiah when Isaiah saw his glory. And what? And he spoke of him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not enough to be born again. You could be a worker, even a pastor. You could be a pastor. I've shown all that one. Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul. Seen Christ. That's all our work. That's what brings transformation. They put you inside prison. Your prison is like a palace. This was our in the Bible conference. We did a documentary on Madame Guyon. He said, the walls of my prison look like rubies. I esteem them more than all the gaudy brilliances of the world. Yeah, the walls of my prison, they look like rubies, look like gold. He said, I esteem them, I count them in honor, more than all the gaudy brilliances of a vain and empty world. She was in prison. This is where I will stay, my God, if it pleases you. In and out of prison. These are people that have carried his presence. Go on. 300 years after her death, her life influenced so many people. John Wesley, Washman Nee. These were people that ran from Guyon. The first American missionaries to go overseas. The first recorded American missionaries to go to overseas, Adoniram Judson. These were people that drank from the waters of Guyon, Madame Guyon. No affliction that woman did not see. But the present, the living reality of Jesus was so much. I know some of us must have read something on this man, Brother Lawrence. The letters of Brother Lawrence. You know, something in his presence. How did he title it? The practice of his presence. It's all these people are called tribute, affliction, no love. All those things are no reality. I think God has carried his presence in Christ's life. He said they will kill Jerusalem. They will put in prison. They are not only ready to be put in prison, but he will stood for that thing. The flood, they were counted worthy to worship for his name. It's reality. This is the truth. The gospel, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, the gospel is about life and immortality. This is what we're handling. This is what we're dealing with. Chapter 1:1 say, concerning the word of life, we have seen it, we have handled it, we have beheld it. The word of life, this same thing are communicating clearly to you. It is immortality and life. Immortality and life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse, yes. He said, to Jesus, when Jesus appeared, he said, to gospel, he had brought it to you. When you fellowship, can you see what you are fellowshipping with? When you say, I am not die, it's not by quoting that scripture. You must stay in the place of communion and fellowship so that you can claim life. Say, I shall not die, but live. David was the psalmist who was saying that. That was downfall. Before he said that, he had said that he sit down in his temple. That I'm going to be this one thing I desire. That look an echo of my heart. This is the only thing you find there. You know, his children there. You know, his wife there. An X-ray of my heart, this is the only thing you see there. That's why he could say I will not die. It was not prayed that you know that it's a testament. I said that we have carried life. I said life and immortality. When you fellowship with the gospel, the God of our Lord Jesus with Christ himself, life and his immortality. Immortality talk about your body. It's not like our spirit. Like, but immortality talk about your body. That's the new word of God. That your body living forever. That's immortality. That's the difference between immortality and eternity. Eternal life. Eternal life is eternal life. Immortal life is talk about your. What did I say? Immortal talks about the body, the flesh. It will not be subject. It couldn't die. Jesus' flesh could not die. Paul said the body could go. What is the body could they stone him one time, he did not die. Stone someone that because he had carried life, sufficient life. You get that life in the place of fellowship. That's the place of life. So if you know this importance, this is not the driving of your life. Not even business. That is even breakthrough in business. That's where you get it. You are just coming from there. People are coming all over the whole world business. The business is by carrying the oil on it. The politician does not matter then. Which school did Joseph go to? When it was time for him to become the prime minister of Egypt, the prince of Egypt, they just said, come and sit, stay there. Stay there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are things we need to know. Then even the word, the covenant, the word, you see, for those of us that are leaders, that you speak, that is the place that God gives you word, that got to his word. Jesus was praying in John 17, before he said, Father, I have given them your and they have received. If they don't have time for him, he's going to sleep on something, they go and sleep in the house. If he's going to make a Judea, they say Galilee, now he face a canon. When they say so much with him, after he has preached, they come and meet him and ask him questions. He have given them your word and delivered it. That's why when men for 40 days, what did they give him? God gave him the word. This is the covenant. This is the word. This is the word of the covenant that I make with you and I make with Israel. That's when God gives you word for the nations. Praise the Lord. All those of you that you see them impacting the nation with war, these are people that have stayed with God. It's that place that God gives it to you. You're not just browsing and looking at concordance and things also. God just speaks to you. You just open up your mouth, something like river begins to flow out. That which is coming out of transforming people on this side. People listen to you. 15 years they are still with message. This is the place that it comes from. You see, I've given them your word that they have received it. Jesus in Acts 10, he said the word which God sent to his children of, that's where God releases his word, things, his word and his glory. The glory and his word. These are the two times substance we get from God. His word. What time to God to begin to behold his glory? God is his. And another thing he gives us, that material reality he gives us, that substance, do like you call, okay, take. Substance he gives is his word. It's his word. That's why when he absorbed the glory, himself was changed and transformed. When he was living there, God gave him words. But Jesus, when he was coming to the earth, what did he give him? God gave him words. After he has manifested the glory of God on it, the word that God gave him, he now delivered it to the apostles. He said, I have given them your word. John chapter 7. I have given them your word, and they have what? And they have received it. I'm not opening it. It's John 17, verse 7 or 8 now, or 6. You can check it and put it up. John 17, verse 7 or 8. John 17, 6, 7, 8. I'm not so sure. I've given them your word. That's why I'm the word for the nation. This and that's why we give it to you. That which transform and begin to change men's life. That's where you encounter it. It's an awesome place. It's a perfect place. A place of communion with fellowship God. Devotion. It's not something I beg you. It's not something you should pursue. That is your entire life. Spend it in God. By in him we live, we move and have our being. Let's enter into the reality of it. Into the practical aspect of that. In him we live, we move, and in him we have our being. Somebody once posted something I love so much. He said a woman's life should be so hidden in Christ that a man will have to find him first if he can find her. You want to see? He said the woman should be so hidden in Christ that the man will have to find him first, Christ, before he can find her. See, some people marry and live and do bad. The man will find Christ first because the man will not be able to see you. Yes. Some of you are just, you will not, they will not see you. You will not fall. Even if you're on the road to a long relationship, you take off. If your heart is anchored on this thing, God will allow you to make. Even if you are going to make, God will even take away people's lives to sustain you on the path. Sustain you on the path. This one, Maria, with her Etta. God took away 5 of her children so that she can enter into this thing. If you read her story, 5 of her children. Some things that God will take their way. If they are the ones that this thing is heavy on you and your parents, God will tell me away. Then you now wake up. There is nothing God don't sacrifice. To get on that path, you anchor your heart on it. Are we together? You rise up in your feet and talk to your father. Moses understood this thing. When God appeared to him in Isaiah 33, what did he say? That I may see you. He teaches you that you can be with God 3 years of nothing. You've seen him. You can be for him. You can be working for him. You have not seen him. You have not seen him. You have not seen him. Isaiah chapter 6 talk about the seraphim. They had 6 wings. With 2 wings, they cover their faces. They don't see him. They cover their faces with 2 wings. With 2 wings, they cover their body.
their body, and with two wings they cover their feet. But they, when they enter into his presence, they cover their eyes. I'm showing the blessing in life. The blessing in life is in Christ. That's all. Somebody, I make bold to say it. I make bold to say it. It's in the Son of God. It's in the Son of God. See me. God said, am I not an apostle? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? See Christ. God was saying that I may know him. That I may know him. That word, that I may know him, that I may see him. That I may see you. Moses, after doing so much and so many great things, was his life. At the end of his life, he said that I may see you. Moses, Exodus 33. That I may see you. Please, can you call up Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2? You already have grace. When you came into Christ, you already came into grace. If I talk about access into grace, access of grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It says, through Christ, we have access into grace. You cannot, you are not accessing it. You can have grace. You can get into grace. Grace. You know, be strong, my spirit. Be strong in the grace. You can be strong in grace. You can be weak in grace. You can be strong in grace. You can be weak in grace. He said, we have access by faith into grace, into the grace that we're already standing in grace. But we need access into that grace. Romans 5, 2 said, they are standing already in grace. I mean, in that grace, but they also have that faith into that grace. Listen to me. How many of you met you here? What is your life one day that God will show you his son? Say, when we see him, we become like him. Listen to him. He said, when we see him, that we enter our inheritance. Why? Who just said him? He said, when we see him, that's 1 John 1, 1 John 3:4. He says, he just allow us to see his son. Call it the marriage of the Lamb. But we behold him and be like him. And that's the ultimate reason is going to be in heaven. He knows that they have a glory in heaven. That mansion is the only body that God is going to create us with. And it depends on how much we can see. You think angels were seeing in heaven? You think angels were seeing in heaven? When the prophet began prophesying, that whole is not for him. The Sabbath only for his soul. When they began prophesying about Christ, that the Christ is coming, they began prophesying suffering and prophesying his glory. The Bible said angels. They wanted to look into this little shot of him. Angels Christ, what are you saying? For the Christ in him. That's the village I want that is that for us. So that is in this life. What the catastrophe? What pushing him? Jesus Christ. This is more than love. I have Christ. I tell you, I don't have any goal. I don't have any ambition. In fact, I'm starting from the peak. when the day I met Jesus Christ, I ascended the mountain. So my life on earth is that I'm living for the peak. There is nothing I'm desiring to attain because I've attained everything in Christ. He said, you are complete in Him. Who is the head of all principality and power? You are already complete in Him. I'm complete in Christ. I'm not struggling to attain anything because I'm starting my life. I just yield to God. I yield to God and God begins to flow. You don't understand this. Satan, you are shied away, you are born again. Satan, you keep you running here and there. You from ministry, you are running up and there. You have no joy, no peace. Which ministry are you doing? I said, there is no joy, there is no peace. That's the first ministry. Which ministry? You do things on earth, but no much reward for you. Peace. You saturated with peace and joy. You have peace when you know that you are starting from the peak. You are not attaining anything. I've already attained everything in life. Yes, I make bold to say it to my God. Because that is the word of the Lord. I am complete in Him. Who is the head of all principality and power? That's Colossians 3. Say, take no thought, even for me. Those of you that are leaders, even for ministry, say, take no thought. It's not your work, it's His work. He's only asking to yield. Take no thought. He's not just talking about food, what you eat and drink. Take no thought even about the calling. You can obey God. He has called you to obey Him. He has called you to yield and to respond to Him. You assess all this in the place of devotion. When you stay with God, what did I say? I started my message. When you stay with God, He start showing His word. He made known His ways, His word to Moses. Moses saw His word. David saw His word. Isaiah saw it. Abraham, your father, his church received. He saw it and he was glad. That's our ultimate testimony. That is our ultimate testimony. You can be a prophet and not even see it. What is a prophet? God give you a message, you go and deliver it. You are sent to a real messenger. You could be a messenger and not see it. Most people don't want to make that mistake. As I have been sent, I want to see this thing. I want to see the reward. I want to see the reward of the inheritance. I want to see Christ. That's the reward. That's the reward. Christ, I want to see it. Paul, I want to see the reward. I want to see the reward that I may know Him. That I may know Him, that I may behold Christ. Christ! Jesus never saw Him. He said, if they had seen Him, including Jesus, He said, the prince of this world and all the people that walk with Him, the prince of this world, including Jesus, if they had seen Him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Our Father, we thank You. We give You praise and we give You glory. We thank You for this meeting. Pastor Lee, please can come forward. The meeting still continues. We don't take much of our time. Let me just pray for us. Our Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name. Prayer does not begin here. It's a lifelong something. You know, continue in this spirit as the meeting continues. The essence of this meeting is these things. You started yesterday. I was not opportune to be here yesterday, but I'll finish the meeting before I go. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this meeting. Thank You for this atmosphere. Thank You for that which You have begun. We'll give You praise. We'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Thank You for this that You have communicated to our spirit. Thank You for the impartation that we have received. It's a light. Light is impartation. Thank You for the light and the impartation we have received. Thank You, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Okay, don't worry.
Let's just celebrate the grace of God upon the man of God. Glory to Jesus. Please, I don't want to take our time because something delicate is here. We are leaving very soon. The Lord has said that he has done what he wanted to do. Now you need to understand this. You need to understand this. Before we printed the flyer for the program, Pastor Tibet told me that the Lord showed him in his dream. And when Pastor Femi came, he's a GO in Akure, he said about 3 days ago when he was praying concerning this meeting, that the Lord opened his eyes and he saw a banner written upon it, the Apostolic Revival. And he was inquiring in his spirit what it means. I said, it's a specific message for specific people to this generation. When I spoke with Pastor Kpelumi said, the dimension the Holy Spirit is taking, he said it yesterday. How many of you were there yesterday? He said, it's quite unusual and heavy. That he's just looking for 20 people. Very few persons. We are going to be leaving this place very soon. There is not going to be much talking. But this next one is in reality. Moving in the supernatural. If you have ever lived a powerless life, a non-revelational life, a lukewarm life, a cold life as a Christian, this is the minute, not the hour, because it's going to be very short. This is the minute to press in and engage God totally. It is practical. We are rounding off this meeting for now by this ministration, and you cannot afford to miss it. You cannot afford to miss it. The Holy Spirit cannot joke with us. Me personally, I will leave this place with my heart open. This last minute blessing, I want to enter some more dangerous dimension. We have not seen anything yet. We cannot applaud anything yet. This is just the normal. I want to be a teacher of apostles. I want to be a pastor to people who are doing the dangerous, miraculous dimension of God. See, Randy Clark has an anointing. The anointing that melts metals. It doesn't matter the metal that surgeons put on your body. Randy Clark will pray for you and those metals will vanish from your body. It's a ridiculous anointing. I want to be an imparter of such anointing. So I cannot afford to joke with this moment. See, you know what you want. It is me. I know what I want. I'm telling you. See, even if I encounter the vilest of sinners, they will begin to encounter the revelation of Jesus by mere seeing it. I want that reality. And I must encounter that reality only by moving in the supernatural. See, I want a time to come where I will give somebody my wristwatch. Pastor Israel, you were saying something. When someone collected my epistles, I said, this epistle can, if someone carried this epistle too much, the person can fall under and they are noticed that this person can be parted by the epistle. I was like, okay, now you are telling me that. I want some other ridiculous manifestation of God. And I don't know what you want. I'm telling you what me I want. And I'm going to be plugging myself to the socket of your ghost. Don't miss it. Don't be narrow. It's going to be short. I know you will know it. Even the minister might not know it. But the Holy Spirit wants to do a quick, deep and thorough work. And I would like you to be partakers. I want you to celebrate the grace of God upon my pastor. He's my father. He's a mentor. He's a patron also. Pastor Ibito, a lecturer in the physics department. He's a dangerous man of the spirit. By the time he's through with his ministration, you will know what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah, celebrate Jesus. You can do better.
You can do better.
To Jesus, I mean to Jesus. I mean to Jesus. To Jesus. Somebody shout glory.
Hallelujah. We celebrate the gifts of God in the house. Pastor Dave, God bless you, sir. My eyes were open. Hallelujah. This is going to be brief. Before you go, sir, when I was there, the Holy Ghost told me.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nations. on your heart.